I've been praying a lot for you recently, and I feel God reminded me of some things that I said to you 11 years ago. Now, who was here 11 years ago? Right, six of us. just a few of us. You may remember what I said, but do you know what? I often can't remember what I said a month ago, let alone 11 years ago. So I'm not expecting you to remember what I said. And I make no apologies for preaching from the same passage that I preached 11 years ago in this church. And I think you'll find it will resonate with you, with your calling, your DNA as a church. And if you've got a Bible, we're going to look at the church in Antioch. It's in Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 13. This is a very strategic city in the Middle East. It's one of the third largest cities. It's a very multicultural city. People are coming and going all the time from Antioch. And we hear that in the Bible, a church is being planted there out of persecution, out of difficulty. Now, believers are being persecuted right now. And wherever there's persecution, the gospel doesn't get stamped out, it gets spread. It's like stamping on a fire, trying to stamp the fire out, and all you do is spread more sparks. And that's what happened in the early church. I believe that's what's going to happen in the Middle East. More sparks are going to fly. As the enemy tries to stamp things out, more blessing is going to come. So let's read in Acts chapter 11. We're going to read two passages, Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 26, and then Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Now, to those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word amongst the Jews only. Some of them, however, and this is like a bit of a shock horror in the story, it's like a real surprise in the story. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, which is in North Africa, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks. Goodness gracious. Not just to Jews, but to Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, it's such a shock because the gospel so far has primarily spread amongst the Jews. It's spread amongst the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jews that have been dispersed in other cities and nations. But this is the first time that the gospel is being recorded going to the Gentiles. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, news of this spread to headquarters. News of this spread to the church in Jerusalem. It's where the apostles were based. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And he's kind of going to see, to suss it out, to see what's happening here. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. But Barnabas kind of reckons there's something missing here. There's a dimension to the church that's missing. So it says this, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Now, we know him as the Apostle Paul, but at this point, he's just still called Saul. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And isn't this line interesting? What do you call yourself? People say, who are you? We're Christians. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Followers of Christ, little ones of him. Followers of him at Antioch. It's such a significant church. And then flip over with me, if you can, to Acts chapter 13. This is the other mention. There's several mentions of Antioch in the Bible, but this is the other one that we're going to specifically look at. And just look at the makeup of the people and the leaders in the church here. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. In other words, different ministries. There's about to be apostles as well, because they're going to be sent out. There were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul," or Paul as we know him, "to the work for which I've called them." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Antioch was such a significant church. Antioch was such a place where God was moving. He was bringing people of different nationalities, different cultures, different backgrounds together. And it became the first sending base in the New Testament, out of Jerusalem, in the Gentile world. And I know that you have been spoken to prophetically about being an Antioch church. I think it was Andy Davis, I think, Tim's brother, who first prophesied that to this church back in the day. And almost all of us who've ever visited Sheffield have kept prophesying that you are to be an Antioch base, an Antioch church. And I think we've been banging on about it we've been preaching the word of God to you for 11, 12, 15 years on this, and I feel suddenly it's happening. Suddenly the DNA of this church is really emerging to be who God has always called you to be, which is an Antioch sending base. And we're going to look at four things that an Antioch sending base, four characteristics of Antioch that I believe are characteristics of this church here in Sheffield. The first one is this: it was a church made up of the nations. I'm not going to ask you to say anything or do anything, but if you were not born in the UK, or you don't count the UK as your cultural heritage, so you could have been born in the UK, but you don't count the UK as your cultural heritage, just raise up your hand. Look at this. Look, the nations are among us. You are very welcome. The nations are particularly welcome here. If we are going to be an Antioch sending base, just like the Antioch church, we need to welcome the nations into us. Just look at the makeup of what happened here. There was Barnabas. Oh, and by the way, there were no white people at all. No white people at all. There were some Middle Eastern people, and there were some black people. But there was no white people, just saying. Barnabas, he's a Levite from Cyprus, so he's a Middle Eastern guy. He's a Jewish man from a very religious background. Then you have Simeon, who is called Niger. Now, the word Niger literally means black. He was a black African because probably he's from Cyrene, where Lucius is from as well, which is North Africa. Most commentators, when you look up the commentary, say he's probably a black African slave who found Christ and found freedom and was part of the church. Isn't it wonderful? There was named black people right in the early church. There's named Europeans right in the early church. Then there's Manion, and this is fascinating. It says Manion was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. He was brought up not just in the palace. When it says the phrase there, brought up, it doesn't mean he went to school with him or he went to school with some of his family. It means he was part of the family. So this guy was royalty, or brought up in the royal household. So you've got freed slaves, probably, people brought up in the royal household. You've got black people, Mediterranean people, and then Saul from Tarsus, who was part of the religious elite, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was part of the Jewish system. So what an amazing multicultural, multicolored church Antioch was. This is Jews loving Gentiles. This is Africans loving Europeans. This is the religious loving the heathen. This is the rich loving the poor, all brought together. Where else do you find this mix? Then where else do you find this? Where else would we find a congregation like this? We're all different sociological backgrounds here. Some of you have got more degrees than a thermometer. And some of you have hardly been educated at all. Some of you are very wealthy in this room. And some of you have very little or nothing. Some of you are white British. And some of you are black African. Some of you are Middle Eastern, and some of you are white European. Some of you are older. One or two of us have grey hair or no hair. We're to be honoured, by the way. Some of you are very young. There's men and women. We're all together in the church. And it said Barnabas saw the grace of God. It doesn't tell us what the grace of God looked like, but I kind of think that's what the grace of God was. The grace of God saved people from all different backgrounds and cultures and religions and settings and demographics and brought them all together in one church, one new man in Christ, representing the nations. And I believe God is doing that in Sheffield. He is doing that amongst you. More and more, this church is becoming more multicoloured, more multicultural. And actually, even as you send the... I don't believe that you'll become less multicultural, you'll become less of the nations. Actually, I believe in the sending, you're going to become more multicultural. You're going to become more of the nations. Something's going to happen in your sending of the... that's going to encourage that. You're not going to lose, you're going to gain. And this is a glimpse of heaven. This is a glimpse of the new heavens and the new earth, where it says there'll be from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation, there'll be people worshipping the Lamb around the throne. And we get a foretaste of that here when we worship. Wasn't it beautiful just worshipping this morning? Different tongues, different languages, different nations, different backgrounds, all worshipping the same Lamb on the throne. You're a church of the nations. That's what Antioch was. And you're a church, secondly, where the grace of God was evident. I would say the grace of God is very clearly evident in City Church Sheffield. You've been founded on grace. Terry Virgo, who founded the movement that we're, the wider movement that we're part of, New Frontiers, is primarily known as a man of grace and a man who teaches the doctrines of grace. Arnold Bell, who helped found City Church and the team that helped do that, laid a foundation of grace. This is a grace church. This is a church where we find our identity not in our background, not in the color of our skin, not in our educational achievements, not even in our finances, our jobs, our skills. We find our identity in Christ, in the grace of God. Each one is gifted by the grace of God. It means you have a grace gift. The Bible talks about gifts of the Spirit, calls them grace gifts. It says, it doesn't just say to the leaders, gifts are given. In Corinthians, it says to each one in the congregation, grace gifts are given. So you have a grace gift. Just look at the person next to you. They might be a bit strange. They might be a bit unusual. But you chose to sit next to them, or they chose to sit next to you. They have grace gifts which need to be released in this church. There are grace gifts in you, gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we need to be released. It says in Corinthians, these need to be released to build the whole church up. We need different giftings. And as the church grows and multiplies and plants out and sends people, that means there's more opportunity for you and your gift to work together with everyone. Paul talks about it like a body. We're like a body. We have eyes and ears and hands and feet and unmentionable parts, he says. But we need it all to make up a body. Your gifting is needed. The grace of God in you is needed. Stop disqualifying yourself. Stop ruling yourself out for all sorts of reasons. You have grace gifts. Now, there's not just grace gifts in the Bible, as in each one has a gift. There's also gifts of the risen Lord Jesus that are in the church. And here we see particularly teachers and prophets. And that's interesting. I think this church has been particularly marked by teachers and prophets. I believe that. That your history has been particularly marked by teachers and prophets, just like Antioch. But look what happened in Antioch. Eventually, they sent out apostles. There must have been evangelists amongst them because loads of people were getting saved. And I think God is doing something here of a grace movement which is everyone gets to use their grace gift, but also we get to receive some grace gifts from the risen Lord Jesus, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And God is not done with you. It's not, that's it, we're fully formed. There's more apostles to be raised up. There's more prophets to be raised up. There's more evangelists to be raised up. There's more pastors and teachers to be raised up amongst us for you to fulfill your call to be the Antioch church that God has made you to be. Now, your leadership is very rich. I don't mean financially. I wish. I mean, one of your leaders is called Rich, but that's, you know. But it's just very rich. It's very full. It's multicultured, it's multicolored, it's multi-gifted. But I believe God wants to add more to that. There's more of you who need to step up and into leadership. And as we send, like, there's holes to be filled. There's bricks that are taken out of the wall that other bricks will fill. As we send off the North Plant, that's really exciting. I tell you, that was the highlight of our trip so far, has been meeting with your North Plant leaders on Thursday evening. Just wonderful team. Very exciting. I hope some of you feel God's calling you to be part of the North Plant. Not everybody, although they'd like that. But some of you feel that. Some of you live there. Some of you don't live there, but you just feel a new church being birthed in the north of this city. Very exciting. As they go, there's more opportunity for others to step into leadership giftings and ministries. Your gift counts. This is a grace church. There was evidence of the grace of God. There's grace on you for this. The third thing is this. It was a church shaped by the Holy Spirit. It was a church, when they were fasting and praying, the thing, when Anne and I were here for several years, we were part of this body. We never lived here. We couldn't sell our house, but we were part of this church for about 3 years, commuting back and forth from Manchester to here, staying in hotels and people's houses and being as much part of you as we can. The highlight for us was your prayer meeting. The highlight for us was the presence of God when we got, it was then on a Friday night. It's now on a Sunday night. Come tonight. This is an advert for the prayer meeting. The presence of God. God shaped things in those prayer meetings. God spoke in those prayer meetings. Now, God speaks all the time. He speaks in our small groups. He speaks in our families. He speaks in our personal quiet times. He speaks when we come together like this on a Sunday morning. He's already spoken to us this morning. But when we get together to pray, and particularly if we add fasting into that like they did here in the early church, actually, it's such a rich atmosphere for God to speak. And I believe anything can happen in a prayer meeting. It's like the engine of the church. It's like if you want to know the vision of the church, if you want to know what the church is doing, if you know where the church is going, come to the prayer meeting. Come and pray with us. This is a praying church. This is a church shaped by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? It says there in the text, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them. Now, I find that fascinating. He's already named loads of people. Saul, Barnabas, Manion, Simeon, Lucius. He's like very clearly named people. But when it talks about the greatest missionary journey that's ever going to happen, Paul and Barnabas sent out on this missionary journey, it just says the Holy Spirit said. It didn't say Barnabas prophesied or Lucius had a word. It just said the Holy Spirit. Because in the end, it's not about man's words, it's about God's word and God's words. And when we come together, particularly in prayer meeting settings, God speaks. The Spirit speaks. And it doesn't matter who that comes through. It could come through a recognized prophet, it could come through an elder, it could come through the youngest, most inexperienced person in the church who speaks out what they're seeing God say. Anyone in a setting like this, when we gather, can hear God and speak. Now, it needs to be weighed. It needs to be considered, and God gives leaders to weigh and consider things. But the word could come through anyone. I want to encourage you. Great missionary journeys could be inspired by a word you prophesy, by something you say or pray, by a word you've read and you bring. It could shape whole destinies of nations. It could shape families as they go, individuals and singles as they go. When you come together, the Holy Spirit speaks. You're a church shaped by the Spirit. Never lose that. The trouble is, as the church gets bigger, what tends to happen is we get a little bit more formal. And we get a little bit more front-led. Because we have to be in a bigger setting. Get a bit more aware of things like safeguarding and health and safety and organisation and structures and rotas and all those things are good and wonderful, the trustees will be pleased to hear me say. But we must never lose the chaotic speaking of the Spirit. We must never lose this sense of... Paul uses a phrase in 1 Corinthians about... He calls it the manifestation of the Spirit. The literal Greek phrase, phanerosis, could be translated literally, the dancing hand of God. It's like when we come together, God just doesn't dance at the front. Doesn't just dance on the leaders. He does, but he dances all over. His dancing hand, the hand of the Spirit, comes on people. And gifts of the Spirit emerge. One prophesies, somebody else speaks in tongues, somebody else brings an interpretation, somebody else has a word of knowledge, somebody else has a prophetic word, somebody else reads some scripture. My encouragement to you is keep being a people of the Spirit. Keep being a people who welcome the Spirit, receive the Spirit, and then use the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Will it be a bit chaotic? Yes. Does it need order and direction and correction? Absolutely. But it's going to be much more like some of you may have watched rugby yesterday, I'm sorry. But it's much more like the order of a rugby match than it is the order of a graveyard. You know, graveyards are very neat, they're very in order, and we can think that's what order means. No, there's order in a rugby match. If you don't understand it, it can look a bit chaotic. But there's actually very good order and structure in it. There's order in our meetings. There's structure in our meetings. There's safety in our meetings. People lead well. People weigh things biblically. But it can look a bit chaotic. I'm saying don't lose the chaos. Keep the order, but don't lose the chaos. Don't lose this sense of the Spirit coming on people. I mean, we were joking with the elders and wives last night. This is one of the only churches I know where people still start songs from the congregation. It's great, isn't it? I mean, it's chaotic if you're a musician. You know, you try finding the key for it. It's, oh my goodness, you know, I don't even know if we've got the words for that one. That's an old one. I love it, though. I love the chaos of it because it's the man's chaos is the order of the Spirit. And God brings this beautiful order when we come together in worship from one another. The dancing hand of God comes on one. Someone prays out from over here. Someone prophesies from here. Someone speaks in tongues from over here. Someone interprets it from over here. Beautiful, wonderful. Keep going. You're a people of the Spirit. Keep welcoming the Spirit. That's what Antioch did. The final point. We've said it's a church made up of the nations. It's a church of the grace of God. It's a church shaped by the Spirit. And the last point is this. It's a church that sends people out. It's not a church that holds on to people and just builds itself up numerically. Look, we're a big, 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 big. We're getting bigger. We're getting strong. We're just building this edifice for ourselves. No, no. We're a church that builds up, sends out. Builds up, sends out. That's what they did with Paul and Barnabas. The Spirit spoke, send them out. That's what we're going to do with the... Hopefully this summer, Middle East permitting. We're going to send you guys out. And when we send you out, it's going to be like, not, oh, do you remember the they used to be here? Oh, we sent them away once. And maybe, maybe occasionally we'll get a postcard from them. Maybe occasionally we'll get a little update. No, they're going as part of you. They're going to build a bridge and to continue to build a bridge across right into Amman. And I think lots of people will travel back and forward, back and forward. You know, like you, Ginny's reminded us this many times, you open the airline, if some of you have flown, you open the airline magazine and you look in the back few pages and there'll be these hubs and there'll be these spidery airline flight paths going out from certain hubs. I believe Sheffield is a hub. Sheffield's an Antioch base where lots of things are going to go out from it. I believe Oman is one of those bases. And you're going to be part of that. And you're not just the end of a line, you're the start of a new plant that's going to go out and carry that on. And things are going to happen out of that into the Middle East, into different nations, into Pakistan, into India, into Sri Lanka, into the Philippines, out from that church. And that's going to be part of your heritage, your inheritance. It's part of being an Antioch church that you send people out. And where are the guys from the north? I haven't got permission to do this, so it's a bit dangerous. But if you know that you're part of the North plant already, perhaps you're part of the team, or you've been like going along and you know you're part. Now, by standing right now, you are not signing on the dotted line. No one's noted, but that's it, they're going. No, but if you're going to feel that you're part of it, and you may even be just part of the initial sending, you may not go, but you feel, what, could you just stand if you're part of the North plant? Yes, okay. Someone, one, two, looked a bit hesitant. That's good. Now, this is good. These are good people. These are good people, right? This is good. This is it. Stay standing. Please, sir, thank you. Stay standing. As I was praying for you guys, and this came out of reading through some of your prophetic words, so it's not totally out of the blue, but reading some of your prophetic words when we were around Paul and Louise's house on Thursday night. And is Paul here? Paul Haynes here? No. He's had to go, okay, because I know Louise is working. But so we're around their house and enjoying fellowship, and I said, where are your prophecies? And they got out this big book, I mean, huge, like massive pages that big, of prophecy after prophecy. And one of them really struck me, and it's this phrase, oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And I looked it up, it's Isaiah 61, and this is what it says in Isaiah 61, verse 3. They will be called oaks. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. And I believe you guys who are standing, some of you are sapling oaks, and some of you are already mighty oaks, Mark Willoughby. Some of you are already strong oaks. Helen and Joe, you know, you guys are, you know, Beth, you guys are a bit, but you know, there's some young saplings as well. And that's okay to be a young sapling. But oaks are mighty. Oaks take a long time. I asked them, how long has this church plant been going? Paul said 23 years. I think, really? He said, yeah, that's why we moved to this house 23 years ago, because we believed God would plant something in the north. I go, oh. Oaks take a long time to come to birth. Oaks take time. But do you know what? Oaks are so strong. When you get winds that come through and decimate, oaks are the ones still standing. And oaks support a multitude of other species. There's hundreds of species of animals and birds and insects and flora and fauna that are supported by oak trees. I believe under your shade, many people are going to flourish. It says the birds of the air will come and nest in the tree. That talks about a blessing to the nations. And just reach out to these people. If you're standing near them, just reach out to them. Lord, I want to thank you for the planting in the north. I want to thank you for this new church plant that's going to be birthed sometime this year, we're believing. Lord, we ask you that they would not just be go, but they'll be sent from this Antioch base. They'll be sent with authority. An anointing and blessing. And we pray, Lord, that there will be a flourishing church in the north, just like there's a flourishing church here in this setting in Ecclesall. We pray for a flourishing plant, oaks of righteousness, to go and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. As I bring this into a conclusion, into an end, I phoned up a friend this week. Roger Bye. Anyone know Roger Bye? Most of you probably don't know Roger very well. Roger's a very good friend of Anne and mine and Ginny's and Stuart. He's been part of our apostolic team since the very beginning, as has Ginny. And Roger, I believe, is a true prophet and also a local pastor, helps lead a church in Cumbria with a great team. And Roger prophesied 10 years ago, I think it was, about this church. And I want to remind, I asked him to, he wrote some stuff down, and Blessed Hand sent me some stuff as well. And it was about you changing your perspective about yourself. It was about City Church changing their mind, changing their perspective, and lining up with what God says about you rather than what you feel about yourself. And this is what he said. You've got to start seeing yourself as a port, P-O-R-T, as a port, not as a harbour. And you think, that's a really weird, I mean, we're not by the sea, so like none of them seem to make any sense. But in the spirit, Roger said, he said, I think you've seen yourself like a harbour. You know, a harbour, seaside harbour, harbour arms reaching out. And he said, at harbours, people find refuge from the storm. And these are all good things, by the way. It's not wrong to be a harbour church. It's just that you've got to change your perspective into being a port church. This is what harbour churches, prophetically, Roger said. They take refuge from the storm. They give people rest and replenishment. They replenish their supplies. They give people rest. They repair boats. But he said they're quite picturesque. You know, you get a nice postcard from a harbour. They're quite pretty places. And they're usually overseen by a harbour master who's a kindly figure, usually one person. And they're nice, safe, lovely, holiday, picturesque places. And he said, you've got to change your thinking. That's not what God sees City Church Sheffield being. He says, Roger was saying, God was saying, I see you more as a port. Port Sheffield. Now, a port is very different. Nobody buys a postcard from a port. They're not pretty. They're a bit messy. They're a bit industrial. They're a little bit dangerous sometimes. They're a bit messy. They're run not by a nice, kindly harbour master, but by a port authority, which is many people working together to ensure that the port functions. And the port is not about one individual vessel finding safety. It's about comings and goings and multitudes of vessels. Its primary purpose is not find safety in my harbour arms, will you? Its primary purpose is to equip, load, and send out supplies for the nation and the nations. It's lots of coming and going. Lots of activity where loads of people are involved. Lots of people are employed. There's lots of bustle and hustle. We don't quite know what everyone's doing, but the port authority seems to know. And every ship's getting equipped and loaded and sent out with new containers. And they're going where? All over the world. And that's what I believe God is saying to you and underlining this Antioch word. That City Church Sheffield is not to be this cozy harbour, much as some of us would quite like it to be, because we'd like to be on holiday in a cozy harbour and send a nice postcard from Sheffield. But to be this port, this Antioch base that is sending and equipping people all over the world. That's the final point, that the Antioch church sent and equipped people on apostolic journeys. And it wasn't just one journey. Paul and Barnabas come back. They're sent out again. Others go. Others are equipped. And I believe as you send out, the North Plant, there's going to be multitudes of that. And you're going to be receiving some people back as well. There'll be ships that come back to the port. They've been abroad. They've been overseas. They've been in other, but they're coming back to the port because you are to be Port Sheffield. I think it's so important. So it changes our thinking about the church. We're not just building this cozy, nice, safe, homely, picture postcard, pretty little church. This is rough, tough. This is industrial. This is every hand on deck. This is everyone involved. This is we're equipping to go to the nation and to go to the nations. We're an Antioch church. Now, what a privilege to be part of an Antioch church. What a privilege to be part of this sending community. And just as we finish, I just want to pray for you.